This is episode 21, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Bertha Jimenez and Jessica Guire from Rise Products.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Industrial symbiosis. If you hadn't heard the word before today, you aren't alone. I hadn't either before my talk with Bertha and Jessica, the co-founders of Rise Products. Rise, based here in New York City, is taking the waste from the beverage industry and turning it into new food-grade material. The first industry that they're tackling is beer. Spent grain from the beer-making process is often disposed of as waste. However, because beer making strips the malted barley of its sugar, fermenting into alcohol during the process, the resulting mash is chock full of fiber and protein. Rise has figured out a way to turn that leftover grain into a delicious flour that has less gluten, no carbs, and is packed with protein. All things that are perfectly on trend with the food industry right now. This is such a good episode. I really appreciate hearing the perspective from two women who have broken into an industry and especially coming from outside of the country. They're both from Ecuador, and this is just a really fantastic product. And we're going to be featuring Rise Products at our showing of the Waste documentary. So come and join us on April 11th for a screening of Wasted, the story of food waste. And then come and chow down on some delicious food and drink from innovative people like Rise Products and also Toast Ale, Proud Pour, Onkali, Rescuing Leftover Cuisine, Nomad Trading Company, Tea Pigs, Eleva Coffee, Food for All, Aero Farms, and Local Roots. We're also going to have a super special eco-conscious take-home goodie bag for you. I don't want to ruin the surprise of what's going to be in it, but maybe tune in next week and we'll let you know. Let's get trash talking. Jessica and Bertha, welcome to Trash Talking.
Thank you.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
A pleasure to be at Trash Talking. My name is Bertha Jimenez. I am the CEO and co-founder of Rise. Rise is a food tech startup that takes organic byproducts and converts it into ingredients. And we're starting with the beer industry. And we convert the byproducts into a tasty, healthy, and sustainable flour.
Hello, my name is Jessica. I'm a co-founder of Rise Products. I mostly do the quality assurance of our product, and I'm very happy to participate in this talk with you, Barbara.
Awesome. Thank you both for being here. So tell us, what is Rise Products?
We have developed a patent pending process in which we can take any type of organic byproducts that has a similar ratio of solid and liquid that comes from usually comes from the beverage industry, and we convert it into a food-grade ingredient. We started because we believe in this concept called industrial symbiosis, which means the byproduct of a company can become the raw material of another company. And that's why we started with how we can create value from waste.
Cool, awesome. So you started with the beer industry, so you make a flour. And one of the things that I know about it is that it's really high in protein, actually.
Yeah. Maybe, Jessica, you can tell us a little bit more about the flour.
Our flour is very nutritious, because it has a lot of fiber, protein, and low carbohydrate. The process of beer making, the first step is taking the barley and hot water. All the sugar will be extracted, and what remains in the barley is all the nutrition. So that's why it's so low in carbohydrate. Hence, our flour is super nutritious.
That's so cool. How did you guys come up with this idea? Because it's genius.
Thank you so much, Barbara. As I told you, we believe in this concept of industrial symbiosis. And actually, we all met at NYU through a challenge about innovation and how can we make cities more vibrant. We believe there's a lot of waste, and many times the waste is just there because we haven't found the right application for it. So we were thinking, How can we like foster this concept? How can we make it into something real and practical? And then we were like thinking like we should make an impact where we live, and we all live in New York City, and there's a lot of microbreweries. And mm-hmm. then we were looking at like what's the main byproduct, and then we realized that it's a spent grain that is just malted barley that has been boiled and is wet. And then we went one time and we took the spent grain and we did a bunch of stuff. We make soap out of there, we make construction material, we make paper, of course also flour and food. And then we realized that what has more value is to have it as a food.
Yeah.
And the format was the flour, and also like the market is theirs.
That's so amazing. Why is it important for you to pursue a type of career or finding out solutions to making cities more sustainable?
We have an abundance in resources, and all those resources, sometimes they are going to waste. So I think we all have to find solutions. And after we did all the research and we found out that we can actually use this leftover barley, repurpose it. So we thought that, yes, it's something that we as a company, we can contribute. And that's what drives us, contribute with the solution.
Also, like, you know, we're, for instance, like Jessica and I, we're both from Ecuador. We have other persons that is from India and from Lithuania. You know, we're from all over. And one of the things I think we learned, as you know, when we were growing up, so my grandmother using every part of plant, some part for stockings, other part for like making the soup or like to have a juice. So I think we have also like this mentality, this mindset of like everything is useful. And then we come here and we think there's so many things that people just throw.
Yeah.
Because like maybe they just like take it for granted. And maybe because we came from these countries that were like always trying to be resourceful, it's also part of like the mindset of Isha Fast.
Other than growing up in Ecuador, was there other things that you got exposed to when you were a child that made you love the environment and care about full cycle production of food?
The same thing that Bertha mentioned. I grew up with my grandmother and we went to the market there and we select our products, and you could appreciate every step of what you're eating, what you have at your table. So for me, I'm living in the US and seeing so much waste, it was also a big incentive trying to pursue this idea of upcycling materials.
Absolutely. I've spent time in Ecuador and I hear you when you say that. What have been some of the challenges that you guys have faced in trying to build this brand and this product that you have?
I think one of the biggest challenges in terms of brand is that like not everybody see, you know, value where waste it is. So there's no problem in New York or in Brooklyn when you're like telling the story of where like this is flour that came out from the breweries, and you tell the story and they think, of course, it makes sense. It's delicious. It's obvious. But if you go and you tell this story, I don't know, somewhere else where they're not too exposed of these type of ideas, they might be asking you, like, why should I eat waste? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of an issue. We are thankful that we are, like, in New York, and this is something that people are more exposed to. So they're more open to trying these different things. The other thing is, like, it's also a novel ingredient, so there's a little bit of education piece of how we should use this ingredient, because it's not exactly as the flour, so it does have less gluten. Gluten is the thing that makes things have a structural ability, so that's what it gives consistency when you're using flour.
Yeah.
So because it has less gluten, then you need to either, in some cases like a brownie, you can use 100% of the flour. In other cases, you have to like mix it with other type of flour. So there's a little bit of like the education piece of how to use this ingredient. That's why we started with B2B. So mm-hmm. when you talk with a chef or a baker, they know how to work with ingredients. But when you talk with a person that's not used to this new ingredient, if we cannot tell them how to use it, there's like a little bit of a challenge.
But what's interesting is that there is this trend towards a gluten-free diet. And I've actually tried to use other types of flours that are gluten-free, like rice flour and coconut flour. And you come up against the same issue even with those, because they don't have gluten and they don't stick together. So you end up with very runny recipes if you follow traditional flour recipes.
Yeah.
But I will say the brownies that I tried that was made from your guys' flour was super delicious.
That you have to give kudos to Jessica.
I think they're so good. Like, if you hadn't told me that they were made with repurposed flour, I would have never known.
Thank you.
Have you guys had particularly inspirational moments?
I studied mechanical engineering in Ecuador. I was working in an environmental consulting company. And I remember I went to different industries. I went to the, I checked how like power plants are like work. I went also like to where they were like taking fish and they were like packaging fish. I was exposed to different type of industries. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really grabbed my attention was one time I went to this fish packaging. So like they take fish and then, you know, like they have to kill it and they have to put it in a packaging. So I went to this part and I asked them, what do you do with, you know, with the waste? And they told me like, oh, we don't have any waste. What do you do? And they said like, yeah, no, we take this and we sell it to a company in, I think it was California or Florida. So I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then I think like 5-6 months passed and I was to another industry that were packaging fish. And I asked them, what do you do with your waste? I was hoping that they would tell me that they also sell it to this company somewhere. Yeah. And they sell it to make gelatin. So that's why they were doing with that. And this other company told me like, oh, you know, we just put it in the waste. Then the truck comes every, I don't know, 3 days and they take it, blah, blah, blah. So I was just so disappointed, you know, like that one company does something with the waste and the other one throws it. And mm-hmm. you know, I became fascinated, like how much industries are wasteful. How, like, you know, and sometimes we only think, like, how can I as a person be less wasteful, which is fine. But I think we should also put pressure in industries because when I was in these consulting companies, I saw like massive amount of waste, you know. And it was great to see how some people were doing great. And it was like kind of sad to see that other ones were not doing anything. And then I learned like that concept is called industrial symbiosis. And it always was part of like the back of my mind, you know, like one day maybe I can do something like that. I never thought I would start with beers. I thought I would start with power plants or with fish because that's the things that I saw more in Ecuador. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess, you know, right now at this moment working with rice, it's a joy for me. I don't feel like it's work. I'm super happy of doing all the things that we have to do to make this company progress. So I love it. I feel that I have a part of this company and I'm trying to do my best to see it grow.
Awesome. And so where are some of the restaurants that you guys sell into and how long have you guys been working on this company?
As a corporation started in January 7, 2017, I think. But Rice as an idea started before, you know?
Yeah.
So as a company, we have like a year and 2 months. We are in Runnerstone and it's a bakery in Brooklyn. We also are at Lighthouse and we are also working with people in Acrobo. It's a hospitality group. I think they have Saxon and Parole. And there's other few bakers and chefs.
What type of things have people taken your repurposed flour and made it into? Like, I know about the brownies and baked goods, but what else have people made?
Some of the people that tried our flour, they have incorporated making pasta. Also, they are tried with savory dishes, some soups, and also, of course, the sweets. I think people really like how it goes with the sweets because of the nutty chocolate flavor, but it's very diverse of what people have tried.
Not that many, but a few people have tried it as a beauty ingredient.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do they do with it?
For their hair, because of the protein, and also like a mask.
Huh.
But I have put it in my hands, and it puts your hands like really soft.
Huh, that's so interesting. Cool. What type of things you do to stay inspired for the work that you're doing?
There are many things. Get inspirations from good things that are happening. Like, for instance, so we're with two accelerators, FoodX and Laudato Si. FoodX, it's really inspiring because they have helped us, like, understand how the food industry is. They have connected with so many, like, people. Like, we thought we would never be part of, like, people from Whole Foods, people from Nestle, people from Sara Lee. And then when we were part of Laudato Si, it was great because, like, it's based the encyclical, the letter from the Pope. And this Pope, Pope Francis, it's very into sustainability and social justice. And one of the things that he said, like, we should take care of our common home, which is the earth. Me as Catholic and also, like, also very believer, I do take a lot of care in sustainability. Yeah, there's a lot of research, but research, as Jessica said, are limited. I don't understand how, for instance, barley, why only have one use? Why only have to be used to make the beer when it can be used to make beer and to make flour, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something like, and every time I see somebody that's, I don't know, like in your case, you're using coffee grounds, I just think, my God, that's so cool. You know, I think more and more people should be like trying to do things, because otherwise we are like in this place that we're thinking everything is dischargeable, you know, everything we can throw away. And throw away culture, then we have what, 200 more years? And then what is it for us, you know?
Right.
So have like this like positive reinforcement, like people like you, you know, like the negative reinforcement when I see like just people being so wasteful.
And Jessica?
I would say I have different sources of inspiration. First, I will thank my teammates, people that I work every day in RISE. They help me to do my work. They push me to do better, and they present me new challenges. So that's a lot of inspiration for me, because they support the work that I do, and we come together and we are trying to make it happen. I also find inspiration in our community, the New York City community, that so many different startups are trying to find ways or how to be more sustainable, how to be more transparent. And I'm also inspired by the people who believe that maybe with a different purchase of this product that is done in a sustainable way, taking care of our nature, our ingredients, and they make their contribution. So I think you can find inspiration in many things. And I guess those are the ones that inspire me the most.
Cool. That's awesome. And do you have any brands or companies or podcasts or movies or books that you think people can use as a resource for finding out more about sustainability and food?
I subscribe to Food Tech Connect. They have a very concise summary about what's happening in the food world. Besides that, I try to read as much as I can, even, you know, New York Times about food waste or blogs of different quality assurance, food safety, or what is happening in the, you know, different chefs that are trying to upcycle ingredients, implementing in their menus. So I think it's just a lot of different things.
Do you guys have one specific tip for someone who wants to live a more eco-conscious life?
Well, I think one of the things, like, it was, I think personally it was a little bit hard for me when we were trying to do RISE, was like, I was trying to find a way how to make everything better, you know? So initially we're like, oh, we should do this, we should do that, we should do that. But then when we start focusing just on the beer, you know, we have a better understanding of how to do things. Actually, like, focusing on beer, but like looking how can we make this case study also useful for other type of things. So I think you should like go little by little, you know, instead of trying to like change everything, because everything is a habit, no? Everything that we do is a habit, and habits are hard to change. So if we change just like one little habit, like go to the store and take your own bags, just one little thing, like little by little, just like now I'm using less plastics, and then you can get like, you know, maybe I should turn my lights off, you know, like little things makes you easier than when you start like getting just overwhelmed that there's so many things I have to change. I don't use plastic bags anymore. I go with my own bags.
Right.
You know, you have to do it step by step.
Right.
I would say that we have so many resources to try to make better habits about what we consume and how we can support more transparency and better food systems. So as Bertha mentioned, little things, maybe, you know, today don't bring your own bag when you go and get your grocery, support farmers market, or, you know, don't buy water plastic bottles. So I think it calls for every person, but we have so many possibilities that we can definitely make a contribution.
Cool. Awesome. Do you have like a crazy story to share, maybe about like a time that you've spent out in nature or building the business?
Well, I do have one. I was with Jessica. And so Jessica and I went last summer to Rome. And we, I don't know if it's like super crazy, but we went to like this. And they told us like we have to go to the breweries in Rome you know, we have to dry it and we have to make a banana pancake, something like that. And, you know, in Rome, there are only three microbreweries, but they are like, they told us like, yeah, they're all in the city. And you see the map and you're like, okay, yeah, they don't look so far. But one of them, well, that was supposed to be part of the city, it was like, so far. It took us like, I don't know, 2-3 hours to get there because we have to take a bus. And then it was like in a kind of like a road with like dust. And we get to this brewery, which, you know, it's really nice. Nice brewery. We have a nice, we got like some beer. Like we like start asking like, you know, like the whole, how do you dispose this? And then we went out and it was maybe like around 7. And in another town, we were not in Rome. We were like, everything was like, a lot of mosquitoes around us. And we're like, oh my God, where are we? We don't even know the language. But finally a bus came and we went back to Rome after like 3-4 hours of being waiting in the, you know, dark with mosquitoes and like cold. But it was an interesting story, but like it was just like, I don't think this qualifies as a Rome brewery. But, you know, we did it.
I think I would like to share an experience that it was a little sad for me. And we were trying to look for the waste management company and trying to find out more about that piece because, you know, we're going to work with the brewers, we're going to collect the spent grain. And when we start doing this, we realized that it was a very, very close circle about the waste management. And they told us that we females, co-founders, we're not supposed to do that kind of job because waste management is just not usually for females. So it was something that, you know, we were not being helped because they saw that we were women and that's not the job that we're gonna supposed to do because waste management is for men. And we also experienced something very, very similar when we were participating on a competition. And they told us that yes, because of this waste management element about our business, it was not something that is usually done by females. And we didn't advance on that competition for that reason as well. So I think it was a little heartbreaking for me that even we talk about being equals, being, you know, given the same opportunity to all for women, for co-founders, for females is a little more difficult.
Yeah, and how do you guys kind of address and deal with that issue or stay inspired to continue working?
For me, it was pretty heartbreaking, but at the same time, it got me like it was a bit shocking because I come from a family that it's like very supportive. They have always like tell me, you know, that I can do whatever, you know, that the sky is the limit. So when somebody tells me that because of my gender, I'm not able to pursue something, it's something unbelievable for me. So it is an issue, and I think it's an issue like in every industry, but maybe because it's more in manufacturing and especially in waste management, I think.
Yeah.
It's even greater. And I think there's no like easy solution, you know, to how to deal with this, how to change all the mentalities. What I have found is that every time that I'm prepared. Like we are always super prepared. So like just to give you an example, like not about this, but the other day I was in a panel. It was with all, I'm a PhD, there was another PhD, and there was another guy that wasn't a PhD but has a lot of experience. So they were both from very big industries, and I was the only one that was from a small company where they were two guys, and I was the only woman. And I have asked beforehand what was the questions going to be about, because I wanted to be sure that I was going to be able to give good feedbacks, or if I was not, that was not my expertise, I can read a little bit about that beforehand. But then one person from the audience asked a question, and the moderator asked, like, who is this question for? And he's like, oh, I want everybody to answer. So the moderator whispered in my ear, hey, don't worry, you don't have to answer if you don't know.
Wow.
And I was like, why he's just saying that to me? And actually, one of the guys that was in this big company, he said, like, you know what? I don't know the answer. It's not my main focus, so I won't answer. And then the other guy, he knew it, and I have just read like 3 papers and 2 articles about that. So I was like super prepared. So I answer, and then I answer again, and then people refer to my answer. So it's a little bit sad that, you know, I have to be 3 times prepared to be able to take serious. And the other guy was taken serious, even though he said, like, you know what, it's not my expertise, I won't answer. But, you know, like, the good thing, I think, is that we all are very supportive of each other. So if something like that happens, you know, I think we are always prepared, you know, to how to answer this.
Awesome. So if people are interested in reaching you or they want to learn more about what you guys are doing, how can they find you?
They can find us at our website, www.riceproducts.co, or they can also send us an email to either Bertha, Bertha, at riceproducts.co, or Jessica at riceproducts.co.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you both so much.
I found the books. Do you want to know?
Oh, yeah, sure. What are your books?
So I really love this guy called William McDonald. He has like one book that he wrote about cradle to cradle, remaking the way we make things. And there's another book, the same author, and it's called The Upcycle, Beyond Sustainability.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you both so much for being on the show. I've really enjoyed hearing your story.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for putting us in your show.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very much.
I really loved hearing about Bertha and Jessica's perspective, given that they came to the U.S. and had a very unique perspective of being international when they started working on this waste issue. Also, countries like Ecuador, where Jessica and Bertha are from, are a lot more sustainable and full-cycle thinking in the way that they process their foods. So I thought it was really appropriate to talk about. Bertha and Jessica shared their own story about this issue, and given that it was International Women's Day this past week, I thought it was great timing for us to dive into this issue. If you have a story that you want to share, or you just want to comment about what we are talking about on this show, please reach out, get in touch. I'm Barbara at TrashyBeauty.com, and we'll hopefully see you at the Wasted Showing. We'll be having Rise products there. They're going to be making us some delicious snacks out of their flour, and we're really looking forward to all of the amazing partners that we have gathered for this event. Thanks, and tune in again next time, Eco Warriors. Stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.